from the DraftKings Sportsbook and Wild Rose Studio. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by NCMEC. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Condon, welcome back. Hour number two, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial as we take you up until almost till noon hour. We will hear from Scott Dockram in about 20 minutes. He covers Iowa at the Athletic. We'll get Doc in here. But right now we are going to begin our first of daily, hopefully, guests to discuss the Super Bowl. 5:30 thereabouts kickoff on Sunday evening, and Nick Athen. Nick is the VP of Operations at PrimetimeSportsDoc.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chiefs Insider, and he joins us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing well. I appreciate you coming on. So it's been a week, and I don't think there's been a ton of news. You know, I did see a stat, Nick, that I wanted to pick your brain on, see if I can get it exactly right. It has to do with Patrick Mahomes and Eric Fisher, a ridiculous number that Patrick Mahomes starts with Eric Fisher. Last two seasons, including playoffs, Mahomes and Fisher both in the lineup. The Chiefs are 27-1. Without Eric Fisher, they're 3-3. They're without Eric Fisher. If you're trying to make a case for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe that's one of them. That's a pretty good defensive front.
I mean, it's a good defensive front. There's no question about it. You know, JPP and Barrett are going to wreak havoc. They're going to do their best. But, you know, it's not like the Chiefs don't know they're coming. It doesn't like, you know, Andy Reid's got a couple of weeks to devise. And they're going to have to do some things different offensively. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, listen, this patchwork offensive line, injuries, COVID, opt-outs, has played remarkably well considering how woeful they've been at times, and this team just keeps winning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Remmers is not my favorite guy. He got torched, you know, against the Broncos.
Super Bowl 50.
Panthers.
Yep.
You know, your boy Von Miller just ate him up.
He did.
But, you know, this is a little different scenario. There's a lot better secondary on Denver, a lot better linebackers on Denver than what you have in Tampa Bay right now. So that has something to do with his schemes. And then, of course, you have to take a look at the quarterback. So, you know, Newton is no Mahomes. So that's a huge advantage to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's a big loss. I mean, with Fisher, you know, Mahomes doesn't really have a whole lot to worry about. You know, with Remmers, he's got a little bit more to worry about. But I'm confident that they'll overcome that.
So we go back to the first meeting between these two, and Tyreek Hill looked like he was on his way to an NFL record in the first half of that game. Obviously, right. Tampa this week, that's got to be a huge part of their game plan, scheming what they're going to be. If you're somebody like me that likes to play with some props, does that mean Travis Kelce should maybe be a bigger part of what I'm looking at this week when I'm going through those Chiefs prop bets?
Yeah, I think Kelce's going to be the number one target. You know, I think that's number one. Hill, you know, I think Hill's going to be used a lot as a decoy. They'll have Watkins back. You know, if Hardman catches the ball and doesn't drop an 89-yard touchdown, which he would have had in the last game, you know, then it would really have been a little bit more difficult, I think, for the scheming. But I would go Kelce one. I would go Hill two. I'd go Watkins 3. I think Watkins in his final game in a Chiefs uniform is going to play big.
Oh, so this will be it for him, you think, Nick? Retirement or just no room for him next year?
I mean, he's $9.5 million.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a lot of money. He'd have to come in at like $4 or $5 million for the Chiefs to entertain it. I mean, he's obviously injury prone. You know, he didn't come in great shape this year. You know, he's been a little bit overweight. He's not as fast as he was, but he still makes clutch plays in the postseason, and that's why they have him. And Brett Feats loves him. So, you know, if they can work something out, maybe, you know, McCole Hardman has to really work hard in the offseason. he's got to get a better grasp of the offense. And I know there's a wide receiver that the Oakland Raiders have. I'm sorry, the Las Vegas Raiders that have Nelson Aguilar that I know the Chiefs are high on in free agency. So you may see an Aguilar for Watkins swap, and I'm all in on that.
Mm. Yeah, I'd be surprised if Gruden and company let him go because he's a difference maker there, Nick.
He is, but I don't know if you read the story or not, but after the Dolphins game, he basically berated the entire team and told them that they stunk, they had no heart. He just went off. It just came out about last week.
Okay.
And, you know, that makes Gruden look really bad. It looks Mayock look even worse. You know, the Raiders are going to always be the Raiders. I mean, they're just not going to win big.
Works for me.
It's just not going to happen. You know, the Chargers right now are the number two threat, I think.
Yep, for sure.
To the Chiefs and the Broncos, if they ever settle on a head coach and a quarterback. You know, hopefully they'll get there too.
Yeah, I mean they came out and they voted confidence for Drew Lock and they tried to trade him this weekend. We'll get to that in a second. So, what is it about this Tampa Bay team, Nick? Seriously, find something that worries you about Tampa Bay. They've got a ton of receivers. I'm not sure Brown's going to be able to answer the bell. Evans is a little banged up. Godwin, he drops some balls, but, you know, he's a receiver. Fournette is running the ball exceptionally well. We know their defense. I love their linebackers. David is terrific. Devin White is playing out of his mind. And Shaq Barrett is, he led the league in sacks 2 years ago. Vita Vea looks as though he's back. What worries you about Tampa Bay?
Well, I think what worries me is this. I think with Tom Brady and Gronk, obviously they have the experience of being in a Super Bowl, winning multiple Super Bowls. They kind of know what it's all about. And they understand what happens, you know, the ebb and flow of a championship game. If they successfully relay that intel to the rest of the team, and they are all on the same page offensively and defensively and have the right mindset, they can beat the Chiefs. There's no question in my mind they can beat the Chiefs. But, you know, it's a matter of guys that haven't been there. You got a head coach that hasn't been there. You've got, you know, Brady's on a new team. It's still different, you know, and Patrick Mahomes is standing in his way for what he wants. Mm-hmm. So that concerns me. Their unity is really strong. Brady has done a remarkable job. I mean, I'm a closet Brady fan. I'm going to admit it. I just think the way he handled this year, mm-hmm. and the things that they overcome, and the fact that he's at 43 put them in the Super Bowl, you know, what's not to like about it? I mean, you have to respect that. And so if they played at Brady's level in this football game from the 53-man roster, they have a good chance to beat the Chiefs.
We're normally getting ready for the goofiness that is Super Bowl media day here the next couple of days. That's going to look a whole lot different. I saw players are being tested twice daily in the lead up here. That's a whole lot different. What else is different in your mind? And you're right there in the epicenter there as you live in Florida. You're going to have a lot of those Chief fans making their way down there. Just how different this year is going to be.
It just doesn't have the same feel, guys. It's just like it's Super Bowl hype for the fans of Tampa and Kansas City. But the vibe is completely different. You know, there's not that anticipation. There's not that party week. Mm-hmm. There's not that, you know, fans, you know, are going to emerge down in Tampa and just hang out for a week like we did last year in Miami. It's a business game. You know, I think that's the best way I can describe it. I mean, the Chiefs are coming in either Friday night or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to come in during any of the hype week. They're not going to do all those things with the other team.
It's like a typical road
year.
Game.
Yeah, this is just a glorified road game, and it's a business trip for the Chiefs, and I think that's a good thing. You know, they don't have the family distractions. They don't have the demands of their time. They get to sit in a room and do some virtual, you know, interviews for Monday through Friday and be done with it and stay in their houses and sleep in their beds. And I don't think that's a bad thing for Kansas City. I think that gives them actually a really big advantage, not to mention they're undefeated on the road this year. So, but it just doesn't have the same vibe, and it's going to be interesting to see what the NFL Network does and CBS and everybody leading up this week to see if they can hype the game up. But obviously,
they'll try.
Mahomes Brady is the big story, but it just doesn't have the same feel as a normal Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I read something, and I didn't finish it because I thought it was ridiculous, that Mahomes needs this one to establish himself amongst the greats in the game. Really?
Yep.
I mean,
I agree.
Do you really do? You believe that?
I do. I know that shocks you, but I
absolutely he's there, man.
Agree that if the true passing of the torch is going to happen, and Mahomes, who I know privately wants Brady's title, he wants this win. And he wants to surpass Brady as the greatest of all time. There's no question in my mind that that drives Patrick Mahomes. But I think Nate Burleson said it on NFL Network. I don't disagree with it. I think if Mahomes beats Brady,
yep,
that's it. There will be no more conversation about who the next GOAT is or, you know, who's going to be the next great quarterback. You know, it allows Brady to have one less and Mahomes gains one. And listen, the Chiefs are a good football team. They're not great. Think about it. They're not a great football team yet. They have not played a full four-quarter game in the Patrick Mahomes era. I argue you can count on one hand three-quarter games where they played well three quarters. If they ever get the kind of team together that would be one that you could say is going to go undefeated every year, and I think that might be next year if they make some changes. So I think this is big for Mahomes. Look what he has done in the last 2 years. If he goes back-to-back with an offensive line that's been so-so, with a defense that's learning by fire, with a rotation of running backs, with you know, wide receivers coming in and out, injured, you know, he has a couple of staples. But, my God, the potential on this team, I think, elevates to a new level if they win this football game.
That's a mouthful. Look, Tyreek Hill is as big a weapon as there is, and I think, as I said last week, and Travis Kelce's the separator on this offense. Sorry, Trent.
No problem at all. Well, there's a lot of other NFL things going on, including the weekend, a big trade. Want to get your perspective on that one. I know the Chiefs aren't involved. They're not going to be looking for a quarterback for hopefully the next 12 years for their sake, but Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford. So I have two Rams fans in my life, which is weird here in our outpost in Des Moines, but both of them not as excited as I thought they would be getting Matt Stafford. And it struck me as surprising. I don't know. Your takeaway when you saw this trade?
I don't necessarily get it. I mean, I know why Stafford's out, you know, and I know why McVay is you know, has soured on Goff. I think McVay, you know, he needs to look himself in the mirror.
Totally agree.
He was the he was the problem. He was the problem in the Super Bowl when he choked. You know, he's been the problem ever since that game.
Yep.
And blaming it on Goff is wrong. Now Goff, you know, is not a really good leader. There's a lot of egos on that football team, you know, beginning with the head coach. So he gets a fresh start. But the Stafford thing, listen, I love Matt Stafford. I think he's one of the top 10, 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, but, you know, he had Megatron and didn't win anything. Now, I'm sorry, when you have the greatest wide receiver or one of the greatest wide receivers of all time and you can't win anything with him.
Yeah, but he didn't have a running game, though.
Didn't have an offensive line.
I know. Yeah. So, you know, if the head coach doesn't mess him up in L.A., then I think it's a good move. For Goff, hey, he gets out of there.
Yeah.
He gets in a situation where he's got a GM that wants him, who drafted him. They're going to coddle him. They're going to build a team around him. I think clearly the Lions won the trade.
Well, I think in the here and now, the Rams, I think that elevates them. I mean, I will say this. I'm looking forward to Stafford in that offense, seeing what he can do with Cooper Kupp. And maybe they can run the football. Certainly Cam Akers looks as though he's got a really good future in front of him. They still got a great defense. But Detroit, and I know it's been forever for Lions fans. I like the fact, and they're going to be late picks in the first round. I get that part, but I understand why they did it. We shall see. Nick, last thing for you. You want to go on record with a score in Super Bowl 55? What do you got for a final score?
I think the Chiefs will win 41-26.
So an easy cover. I thought you just told us it's going to be a tough game a little bit.
I'm with you, Nick. It's going to be tough for the Bucs.
I think they're going to blow them out. I'm with you. Nick, great stuff. We'll recap it on Monday with you. Thank you, bud. Enjoy your week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
PrimetimeSportsTalk.com is where you can read Nick. He's the chief operating officer of PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. Trent, this trade, this is a big trade.
It is.
Big, big trade.
I heard it, and how old is Stafford now?
33. Be 33 this upcoming season. So he's got 3 or 4 years left for sure.
I think so. I think at a high level.
Uh-huh.
You got a pretty average offensive line? Tick above?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Whitworth's coming to the end. I mean, he's as good as ever was at left tackle, but how many more has he got left?
Right.
Cam Akers emerged.
He did.
In a big, big way. Wood, Cooper Kupp. Who's the tight end?
They got a couple of them.
Higbee's one of them.
Yes.
I don't know much about it. The tight end position there. Their defense is solid.
It is.
And look, Jared Goff, say what you want about him. He answered the bell with three screws, the three pins in his thumb. You know?
But you could tell at the end of the season.
And they weren't going to him.
Yeah.
It wasn't his team. It was John Wolford's team.
That's who McVay wanted.
Uh-huh.
When you get to a guy that, look, he was athletic. He could run around a little bit. He was better than I anticipated he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
But now you put Matthew Stafford with that guy.
Oh, boy.
Think of when he had Goff flying at his highest and those points in that Chiefs-Rams game, that Monday night game.
It was unreal.
So much fun.
It was unreal, that game.
Now you put that guy with that kind of talent there. I think this is going to work.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. And I think eventually I can see what Detroit's doing, trying to build up that that capital, currency, which is the draft. I get what they're doing. And there's no reason that if they draft, what, eight? I think they're eight. I think they're seven or eight. If they want a quarterback, if they want Justin Fields and he's there, grab him.
Right. Let him sit for you.
Because Goff's got, what, 2 years, I think, left on this deal, this guaranteed deal? It's a lot of money.
And if you need to take a cap hit for 2022, okay, you're still the Lions.
Right.
It's not about 2022. This is a long-term play, and this is what you're building for to being good in 2024 and 25.
Right.
That's realistically where you're going.
When Aaron Rodgers is no longer in the league.
Yes, that helps too.
We'll take a time out here. We got to do a keyword.
Did you hear the Kirk Cousins also buzz that is
no,
out there?
No, what's going on?
San Francisco might be kicking the tires.
Okay. And what would come in? Would Garoppolo go to the Vikes?
I would think that would be that kind of swap that would happen. Again, this is just Twitter rumblings. I didn't even read an article by anybody that knows the ramifications financially.
I had not seen that yet.
Kicking the tires at the very least.
Look, the Vikings, Kirk Cousins isn't the problem on the Minnesota Vikings.
No,
I don't think so. Not by any means.
They have more pressing issues.
Yeah, Hunter, is he going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers, the hitman's getting a little long in the tooth.
Those cornerbacks, the young ones improved.
I think they have something there. I do, Trent. I think both of the young corners are going to be okay.
And Zimmer knows how to coach that position.
He does. But yeah, Kirk Cousins.
Offensive line?
Yeah, they got some problems there. Well, that's something to watch. I didn't know that. Thank you for alerting me to that. Let's do this. Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200 right now. It's your chance at $1,000. WIN to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
All right, Scott Dockerman joins us next. We will we'll take a look back to Friday night as the Hawks fall by, what, 5, I think, in the end. In Champaign, busy week. Sparty tomorrow. Bucks on Thursday. Indiana on Sunday. Game time tomorrow is 6, FS1. So both the Clones and the Hawks are the same time tomorrow. One of them's on your iPad. Or if you're fancy like Trent, you found a way to get it on the ESPN Plus on the TV. But, of course, if you can't be in front of your TV for either game, Iowa State plays down the hall on 100.3 The Bus, and Iowa plays down the other hall on News Radio 1040 WHO. Miller and Condon at 1125 Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
We are Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 AM, and now 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
Trek Hyden here to let you know my good friends at Renter's Warehouse are in heavy demand right now in Des Moines for three reasons. One, the rental market is booming. People rent during uncertain times, and homes are getting leased fast. Two, with professional video marketing and self-showing technology, Renter's Warehouse meets all healthy and safety guidelines for our social distancing world. And three, with regulations changing so quickly, more people are learning that using an experienced property manager is far less stressful than trying to do everything yourself. Now is not the time to DIY or mess with inexperienced property managers. For a low, flat monthly fee, Renter's Warehouse will take the grunt work off your plate with no upfront fees and no paperwork or 3 a.m. maintenance calls. Plus, they can help you turn your part-time rental into a full-time cash flow machine. And if you're a real estate agent, they're offering cash payments for referrals. Go to renterswarehouse.com to book your free home rental price analysis today or call 515-528-4429. That's 515-528-4429. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You'll always.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Scott Dockerman in a moment. Drake has checked in. They're in the AP, top 25.
Yeah, just ahead of Oklahoma State. They're in the rankings. And, of course, for the first time since the season, you remember incredibly
it
well.
It was unbelievable,
Ken.
That run. All the way to Tampa, where they were unceremoniously dumped as the fight.
Ty Rogers.
Oh, what a shot. And a tough day. I think Adam Emenecker was 1-for-10. He carried that team that year. The Larry Bird Trophy winner did so much. Just an unfortunate day to pick to have a tough day. Let's get Scott Dockerman in here. By the way, the Bulldogs, Des Moines hometown team, they're in action tonight. The Knapp Center, Illinois State. Once again tonight, we will talk about that, I'm sure, before we get out of here. But right now, Scott Dockerman joins the program. Doc, Trent, and Ken, how are you?
I am well. How about you all?
Doing well, and I appreciated you watching the Senior Bowl over the weekend, so I didn't have to. As you were tweeting about some of the Hawks that were making an impact in the game, and but it sounds to think Golston had a pretty big day.
Yeah, he was pretty active. He's had to fight through quite a few double teams. A lot of times he would beat the guard and the center would go over. I mean, you know, statistically it wasn't great, and they don't really have a lot of the statistics are kind of fleeting as they are. But I think by and large he really improved himself over the course of the week and then in the game. And his tape or what he showed last week really reflected his level of play. So I'd imagine that those coaches and scouts that met with him in Mobile will be blown away as far as his intangibles go. So I think his trajectory is upward when it comes to the April/May draft.
Davion Nixon looks like he's destined to be a first-round pick. Of that next tier of guys, you talk about goals, maybe even take him away. That group that are going to be 5th, 6th, 7th range, maybe even undrafted free agents, who do you think has the best shot?
Where do you have Jackson going?
Of really sticking. And yeah, take him out. We're talking about that next tier of guy. The guy that's not going to be an automatic draft pick. Out of that group, who do you like most to have a long NFL career?
That's a great question. And health always is the intent, is always the question mark. Yeah. You can't predict that part. But I'll say this, that really I look at them in kind of tiers. And there's a top tier, which are three guys. Davion Nixon, as you mentioned, a first/second rounder. I think Golston has probably played himself into that second, third round range. Jackson, you know, the reports are mixed, and, you know, he might go anywhere as high as the second round to the fourth. After that, then, as you mentioned, I think there are a handful of guys that kind of have that opportunity. Sean Beyer at tight end, he's an Iowa tight end. He had his best year last year. The pass-catching statistics don't necessarily reflect that, but I think that he's got an impression that he's made. I think Amir Smith-Marset is a guy that can really it's probably on the upward of that simply because of his kick return ability. Mm-hmm. He's probably a team probably looks at him as a fourth or fifth wide receiver and can then, you know, from that point on, you know, he can, but he's also a kick returner. Brandon Smith is interesting to me because, you know, statistically he suggests, you know, free agent, but he does have a lot of good physical abilities, and it wasn't really – he had some drops this year, but other than that, the quarterback issue really impacted him. And then, you know, Cole Banwert, I think, has a chance to be probably a late-round pick, fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, but I also think he's got a chance to stick because he knows how to play football. And a lot of times if you're an Iowa guy and you're an offensive lineman, they know what they're going to get, and if you're good enough, you're plug and play, and you can stick to a roster. So I would kind of put them in that category. And then there are a few others, you know, Nick Beeman, mm-hmm. You know, Mekhi Sargent had a nice Hula Bowl, and, you know, probably Keith Duncan. They all have kind of opportunities. I think they have opportunities to make teams.
And that's why I thought Kronk was going to come back, because I think he could have used, because he was hurt, just didn't play very much, Doc. And I think that that would have helped him. Anyways, we'll see. That's a good question, and certainly it's going to be something to watch between now and April. Doc, so you'll get Ferentz right on signing day. Will they, at that point, will they shed any light on how they're going to handle spring practice? Isn't it usually about that time? And maybe not usually, but periodically we find out just the plans as to when they'd like to start and how they're going to handle it?
I think so. I think we'll have probably a general idea of what's going to take place, because they've already been a couple of weeks into workouts. They have six freshmen on campus. You have, you know, kind of the semblance of what's going to go on over the next 6 or 7 weeks. I think that's fair, that they will have, on Wednesday, this we know will start, maybe when it'll wrap up or come close to that. Now, I don't know if they'll have specifics as far as if they'll have a game, if it's going to be in the stadium, if it's going to be in the, you know, what they're going to do there. But I think they will have kind of a blueprint as to what they're going to do for the rest of the spring.
Another question on the draft and looking forward. I think a lot of people saw Davion Nixon, how much upside he had, finally realizing it this season. But to be at this level, it might have been a stretch. Who on this roster can get to that kind of level? Mm-hmm. Who's the next first-round draft pick that's currently on the Iowa football roster?
I know.
There might be a center in there.
There you go.
But he's a center. He's a center. And that's where I'd maybe give some pushback to.
Yeah, maybe second. Yeah, it's a good point. It's this position.
I don't know. I mean, centers don't go first, you know, top 10.
Right,
I mean,
but 20s.
Yes. Priority position.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I think when you get into that 25 range mm-hmm. and beyond, that's where a lot of times you'll find a center, you know, somebody like that. And I think Tyler Linderbaum is good enough that if they needed to slide him over or slide somebody else over, you know, if you're talking about, like, say, Chicago, for instance, you could slide Cody Whitehair over or James Daniels over for Tyler Linderbaum. So, you know, and other teams are that way as well. So, I mean, you got to start there.
Yep.
He's that guy. Now, beyond that, it's hard to say. I kind of think if I was to pick one guy that I think will make his mark next year and elevate himself into that conversation of first team all Big Ten and possibly beyond that, is Jack Campbell. I love the way he played. I thought he was incredible last year when he got in there. Physical, great athlete. When Ferentz says extra heartbeat, what it means is they're kind of a tempo setter and they tip the field, and he certainly did that. And I think a full year – you know, healthy, I think he could be one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten, and if not in the country. So he's the guy that I would look at, even though he'll only be a junior next year.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Doc. I think his stock's incredibly high, and Benson likewise. I mean, they were a different team when he was out. Wasn't it with game one that he missed? But you're right on the money, Doc, on Jack Campbell, your assessment there. So let's move to basketball. Trent, you done football-wise?
Yeah, good.
Let's get to basketball, Illinois and Iowa. Doc, it lived up to the hype, you know, for a game in late January, a regular season conference game. We talked literally every day about this game. And when the schedule came out, everybody was, when's Iowa, Illinois play? They were so good, those two games we saw last year. It lived up to the hype. Didn't go the Hawks' way, but boy, oh boy, that was a fun couple of hours.
It was. It reminds you of what basketball can be at this time of year. And I think a lot of, even the games we've watched that have been good or bad, there's always been something missing. And I think a lot of that is the fan element. But I also think in this case, you saw how two teams wanted to win so badly
no matter what the environment was like. And they played very close. There were, you know, I think Illinois' biggest lead was 7. Iowa's was 6. It was possession by possession. There were great plays made by great players. There were runs. There was every element that you would want if you were a neutral observer. Now, granted, if you're an Iowa fan, did not go the way you wanted it to. And this reminded me a lot of the Iowa-Illinois games of the 80s and early 90s that were just as good as any series you'll ever find out there. So it's unfortunate. It's the only time they play this year, but at least scheduled-wise. But, you know, these teams are good enough where I could see them hooking up at some point in March.
Okay.
Ian. Ian Trent. And how about April? Let's have that happen, too, in the Final Four. Hey, Doc. Back-to-back losses, difficult week coming up this week, 3 games over, 6 days as they get ready, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Indiana after that. These games are going to be compressed. It's going to be a difficult schedule compared to what you're used to. But my question is expectations, what this team is, what we should think of them. Are they a top 10 team? They're still ranked in the top 10 at the AP poll this week at number 8. Have your expectations changed at all, and should the fan bases?
I don't know if I can answer the fan base part of it, but that goes all the way around. I will say this. I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten title. I think that they've got their schedule is pretty challenging, and I think you look at a few other teams, Michigan and Purdue in particular have easier paths to get to that finish line. Michigan's game, a lot of their games will be very compressed, so they might lose a few more, but they've only got one loss. Iowa has 3 in the Big Ten, and they've, as you mentioned, they've got some pretty challenging games. I think it's hard for Iowa fans because it's been so long, but yeah, I think you got to put that in the rearview mirror and just not worry about that. Worry about the season as a whole, and don't overreact after one loss. And I know it's hard. Never seems to happen with Iowa fans, but look at the big picture. I think this is a top 10 team. I think this is a quality team that's going to give a lot of teams a lot of problems. Do I think it's a Final Four team? No, I don't. I don't think their defense is good enough. And I was looking at these, I was kind of comparing and for a piece that we've got out coming out tomorrow in the Athletic, examining both the Big Ten and nationally. And, I mean, Iowa's adjusted defense efficiency-wise by KenPom, you know, is right now is at 96. And I went through the last 10 Final Four teams. Years worth of Final Four teams, and the lowest was 78, but that was an outlier. There were 11 seeds. The rest of them, 17 of them were top 10 teams. So I don't know if they have the defense to go all the way. They would have to have a kind of a golden path. But that said, I think this is a team that's an upper third in the Big Ten. I think it's a top 10 to top 12 team, and I think it's a second weekend team. And if it has a good path, it's got that chance. So I think you just But have fun watching them.
Yeah.
That's really the hard thing because I don't think a lot of people enjoy the games enough to really appreciate what they are.
That's a very good point. For both of you on this one, Tony Perkins, I think they might have something there. He really caught me. I didn't play a ton of minutes, but when he was on the floor, he certainly did not look out of place at all, Doc, the freshman from Indiana.
But there is some potential there once a lot of these guys move on. And I think him in the backcourt, getting minutes, I think it's really important for him to do that. And that's, you know, C.J. Frederick is such an important piece, and I think that hasn't been mentioned really enough that, you know, he didn't play the second half against Indiana. He didn't play the other day. He would have made an impact in both games, not saying they would have won. But I think if there is a benefit, it is getting Tony Perkins on the floor because he's doing a lot of good things. Had a couple assists. He didn't have a turnover. He made a shot. So I think, and he had 3 rebounds. So I think he's a guy that you want to get on the floor as often as you can just to get him acclimated to that, because next year he's going to be a big piece of this team. And whether he starts or he's going to be a heavy rotation guy, I really like him. And I think, you know, well, we've seen what the Keegan Murray's impact has been as a freshman. And I'm not saying Tony Perkins is all of that, but I think getting him in for a couple of stretches in each half like be really beneficial for him in short term and long term.
Is it time for Jack Dungy to stop with the threes? Be what you are. You're the backup to Garza. You'll play a little bit together and you'll be the 4, but we got plenty of guys that can shoot it. Until you can hit better than 20%, we got better guys that can hit better shots.
I would say that.
Yeah.
I think there does need to be a little bit more better selection. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, Fran has pretty much talked all about Dungy's career, about his range and that. But I think at this point, you've got to, as you mentioned, you've got to kind of center on what you are and your best opportunities. And I think him taking a three is not the same as even a struggling Jordan Bohannon taking a three, or, you know, allowing other people to do different things. I mean, it's kind of, taking threes feels like an easy way out for a lot of players, and it's almost a wish when they throw it up there. Like, they hope that it goes in, and then all of a sudden everything will be magically better, and that's not the case. I think when they are at their best, their offense is moving so well, and they do it a lot, and a lot of, it really has to do more with Luka Garza than anything else. So make sure he gets his touches, because he will find you out of the post. I mean, he's kind of like, Seth Tuttle was that way at UNI a few years ago, and I think Garza's even better at that. And of course, Nunji just needs to play his position, because rebounding, all those types of things, that's really where he needs to be, you know, more efficient.
Did the officials get it right, Doc? I mean, clearly it was not goaltending. Coburn did get the ball before it hit the backboard, but Wieskamp grabs it right away and puts it right back in. So what I'm guessing we are led to believe is, once they went to the monitors, after they corrected their miss there, that everything after that is taken off, right? So you go back to that point where they corrected the bad call, and everything that happened after that, we're led to believe, didn't happen. Is that essentially how it played out?
It was called correctly, but it was called incorrectly. I mean, it was the worst possible call they could have made. If you were smart, if the Big Ten, or if they were given any kind of leeway at all, it would be one of those stands is called. So you just give them the goaltend and move on, because, yes, everything after that is supposedly called off, but you took 2 points off the board in a very competitive game. Yeah. Critical juncture, and then Iowa didn't score on that situation. So that was, I'm not going to say tragedy or anything, because Lord knows 2020 has taught us a lot about that. But I mean, that was really an unfortunate situation, and I think the officiating needed to be called to the carpet a little bit. I mean, Illinois plays a physical brand of defense; they're an incredibly good team. I'm not blaming them for, I'm not blaming the officials, but you're telling me that they can go the final 10 minutes and 4 seconds without being called for a foul? Give me a break.
Well, and that, Doc, and Fraser on the baseline, I thought he was in the band and he was going to dot the I in Illinois like the Ohio State guy does. I mean, he was high-stepping, Doc, three times, at least three steps. Anyways, go ahead, Trent.
Well, and the final part about that is, post-game, you guys are doing the Zoom, and Fran doesn't want to get fined, doesn't want to get the reprimand from the Big Ten. Some people on the national level,
I was shocked,
didn't understand it. Chris Hassel, who's from here, that is an Iowa fan.
Right.
He takes it, and maybe there's an axe to grind. That's a different conversation. But Matt Norlander, national guys that just don't get it. I was surprised by it. Your takeaway, Doc?
I've had my issues with Fran over the years, and you guys have known that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anything of it.
And
really, I think part of it was, if he at the end, he kind of issued like a mea culpa, which was, to me, the message that he wanted to send. I mean, at first, it started sounding like he was being kind of condescending to Chad Lystico, and he has done that in the past. But then when he's like, I must be the worst coach if I can only get him, one free throw. And that's his message, to say, it's not you. It's this game and this system. And the toe drag swag from Frazier to not calling a foul over the 10 minutes, not getting, Luka Garza is really physical. It's hard to stop him. And Coburn is not that good of a defender. I mean, he's an incredible athlete, but that was a poorly officiated game. Mm-hmm. And again, Illinois and Iowa, if they played 10 times, each would win 5. It's an incredible game, an incredible series. But I do think that that needs to be harshly critiqued. And because as you guys talked about at the top, this felt like a tournament game.
It did.
It had that feel to it. And there are two teams playing at a very high level, and the officiating didn't match. And the Big Ten needs to correct that immediately.
Couldn't agree with you more. Doc, you've been very generous with your time here this morning. Thanks for what you do for us, Scott Dockerman. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you. Scott Dockerman joining us as Yeah, it's too bad, the official. Yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Leistikow wasn't offended. No, he didn't take it like that at all.
But if you hear just that clip, and you don't know Fran, and you don't know the way
Chris
the game
Hassel
is set,
knows Fran.
He does. I think there's more there.
Maybe. I don't know about that part of the story. All right, food insecurity is not new to Iowa. Before COVID, 1 in 10 Iowans was uncertain where their next meal, and 70% of those folks had to decide between food and utilities. Food insecurity is double today, triple for households with children. Heat or eat. To get help, or if you can't help, visit foodbankiowa.org. Our final stoppage here. We'll come back, finish it up on a Monday. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM.
Murph and Andy talk sports and more. Weekdays at 2 on 1460 AM and 106.3 FM. This is KXNO.
The 55th big game is this weekend. 55. A game this big deserves a big prize, not just some trophy. To finish off the football season, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all players a no-brainer of an offer. To celebrate football's finale, DraftKings Sportsbook is doubling your money if a touchdown is scored in the big game.
That's right. All it takes is for one touchdown to be scored Sunday night, and boom, bang, your money is doubled. Sounds like a no-brainer. And don't forget about DraftKings' big game prediction challenge with up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs. And instant prizes for everyone who enters the contest.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code KXNO to get a shot at doubling your money if a touchdown is scored in Sunday's game. That's promo code KXNO to get a shot at doubling your money during Sunday night's season finale. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/prediction-challenge-DFS for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Welcome back. Final couple of minutes, Miller and Condon. By the way, no one can see you, but you're wearing your Minnesota North Stars ball cap here today. Reminds me. The jerseys that they wore last night against the Lanch, the Wild one in overtime. Mm-hmm. Boy, they were sweet. The throwback jerseys. Oh, my.
The actual green.
Yes.
The Kelly green, not the dark green garbage they got. No red.
See, I don't want to piss off Wild fans. I don't like their jerseys.
I don't either. I don't like the
Never have.
I don't like the color scheme. But I told
the ones
you today.
Last night, oof.
Just take back the name. I don't care that Dallas stole the Stars' name when that idiot took the team down to Dallas. You're the North Stars.
Yes.
Be the North Stars again. If there's two Stars or they want to be the Lone Stars.
Trent, there's two Rough Riders in the CFL and there's only 9 teams.
Perfect point.
Ottawa Rough Riders, Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Who are you playing? Who you got? Who are the Rough Riders?
Bring it back.
I agree with you. Boy, they looked good on TV last night. That was a good hockey game, too. Really good hockey
Wild playing
game
well.
They did.
And the home opener for the Iowa Wild Friday night.
Tick, tick, tick. Getting closer all the time. So is Murph and Andy. They'll be here at 2, the Fanatics at 4. The Des Moines Register Cyclone Show tonight is at 6. Tonight at 6. Morning Rush tomorrow at 6 a.m. We're Miller and Condon. Weekdays 10 to noon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.